Good morning, and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Good morning. The Lord's blessings to everyone in Christ Jesus. Thanks for being here for our service this morning. We truly are blessed. What wonderful, wonderful music already this morning since we're sitting here listening to excellence in the music. We're really blessed. And even more than that, though, is what our Lord has done for us. What the lengths he was willing to go to for our forgiveness and salvation, and specifically the reality that within our faith, that our salvation not based upon us or our try, but on what Christ has done. And that is the sure foundation of our faith this morning and why we're here to celebrate and to receive his gifts. Thanks again for being a part of our service today. If you're listening in on the radio this morning, we welcome you as well. And thank you for joining us. This morning, our opening hymn there inside the bulletin is hymn 361, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Let's sing together. With candles lit, we continue. To invite the congregation to please stand if you're able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue with our introit this morning from 1 Samuel 2 and Luke chapter 1. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is none holy like the Lord. There is none besides you. There is no rock like our God. The barren has borne seven, but she who has many children is forlorn. The Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and he exalts. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come and help us by your might, that the sins which weigh us down may be quickly lifted by your grace and mercy. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated.
The Old Testament reading is from the fifth chapter of Micah. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore, he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Today's epistle is from Hebrews, the 10th chapter. When Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book. When he said above, you have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings, these are offered according to the law. Then he added, behold, I have come to do your will. He abolishes first in order to establish the second. And by that will, we have been sanctified to the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We sing our Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Would you join us in singing our hymn of the day for today, the fourth Sunday of Advent? That hymn is hymn 357, O Come, Emmanuel. Let's sing.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. This morning, we come to the last of four discussions on the prophecy from Jeremiah in the 33rd chapter of his prophecy in the 16th verse. We've been focusing on this verse for 3 weeks, today the fourth, all throughout the season of Advent, and I've encouraged you to meditate on it. Now, as Christians, when we use the word meditate, we mean filling ourselves up with God's word. We don't mean trying to empty ourselves or something weird. But to meditate on it, to bask in it, to try to bathe in it, this reality of what the prophet brings us in the 33rd chapter of his prophecy. He says these words, these are the ones that we've been focusing on specifically from verse 16. He says, "The Lord is our righteousness." The Lord is our righteousness. And we focused on each part of this as we've gone down through the season of Advent. This morning, we arrive at the last part, which is, for us, the word righteousness. We looked at the Lord. We said, whose righteousness is it that is ours? It's not just any old righteousness, it's the Lord's righteousness. And then we looked at the verb, is. We say, how is it possible that you and me could have such righteousness? Well, if the Lord says it is, then it is. Just like he said, let there be light, and there was light. Or how he says, this is my body, this is my blood. And of course, we believe his word. Then we went to the pronoun last week, our. The Lord is our righteousness. And we discovered how this Christian faith thing is not a privatized reality, but is in fact something that we share together with all believers of all time. It's our faith together. Of course. And this morning, we land on righteousness. And we want to understand what it is. What is righteousness? Well, throughout the weeks, we defined it briefly as sinlessness. And I think that's a good definition still. Sinlessness, without sin, you could say, is righteousness. But there's more to righteousness, and I think the best way that we can sort of dig into it this morning is to look at what it's not. What isn't righteousness? What's not righteous? What's unrighteousness? And I think as we see that, we'll recognize something beautiful and what we need to know about righteousness. See, righteousness isn't our try, our attempt, our endeavor, our effort, our works to gain or earn something before God. That's not righteousness. In fact, the Apostle Paul writes in Romans 4 and says that if we're trying to earn or try or attain or get for ourselves something before God, that our works are not counted as grace but as debt. Our try when it comes to the kingdom of heaven, when it comes to our great God, is not righteousness. We think it is. I know. Sometimes I think it is. We're hardwired that way in our natural state. But that's not what our faith is about, friends. That's not what the Christian faith is at all, actually. It's not about our try. We'll talk about that more in a little bit. If you want to see unrighteousness or what righteousness isn't, then even though this is kind of hard to do, picture yourself without the Word of God, without the Holy Spirit, without baptism, apart from God, disconnected from the Spirit of God, and wholly apart from the fellowship of His Word. Thank God that He's faithful. He keeps His promises, and we're not in that place without these things. But friends, so many are living a life that's like that, completely disconnected from all of these things, wholly apart from the fellowship of God's Word in the church. And that's not because God hasn't given to them great blessings, it's because they choose to reject them. For all around us are His blessings. All good things come down from the Father of lights, the scriptures say, and that the invisible attributes of God are clearly seen in the things that are made. God is revealing Himself to all people all the time, and some are choosing to reject Him. So if we picture ourselves apart from all the blessings of God, apart from His word of the gospel, we'll start to get a picture of unrighteousness. It's happened before. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. This is what, just before the flood, this is what was recorded there. And we'll get a picture of humanity apart from faith. There it says, "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that the thoughts of their hearts were only evil all the time." That's pretty unrighteous. Only evil all the time. It's a mouthful, but it's a crazy phrase. Only evil all the time. See, when it comes to righteousness, being right before God, there's no neutral. It's not like my pickup or your vehicle. There's no neutral. There's only forward or reverse. Only two directions that we can go. Jesus put it this way in Matthew 7. He said, "A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot produce good fruit." It's one or the other. It's unrighteous, cut off from God, a stranger to His covenants and promises, or it's with Him. There's no third direction. It's hard to think about this. But the scripture doesn't give us a way out. Ourselves, me and you, apart from God's word, apart from God's grace, apart from faith in Christ, apart from baptism and all the things that we cherish and that we're not apart from. But if we were, apart from them, it's only wickedness. It's only unrighteousness. It's only bad fruit. There's no pleasing God at all. It's impossible to please God, the apostle says, apart from faith. To think about ourselves like that is hard. But if we're going to talk about righteousness, we're talking about a heavy topic, a weighty topic, and we might as well say it how it is. Apart from Him and His work and His gifts, if we're going to talk about it, it's not us. It's not us. And that's the point. See, the strange thing is that even though we're not righteous, we're not sinless, and we're not perfect, that is exactly what God's law requires of us. Have you noticed that in your Bible studies over your lifetime? What is God asking? He's asking us to be righteous. In fact, He's not asking, He's demanding. And this kind of confuses us. How can He ask me something I'm not capable of? Is that what you're saying? Yes, it is what I'm saying. And yes, it is what the scripture says. See, Jesus teaches this too. In fact, Jesus says in His Sermon on the Mount, "Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." God says in Leviticus, and Peter says as well, that we should be holy. God says, "As I am holy, you be holy." But friends, just because the Bible says that's what we should be, that doesn't mean that you and I on our own are capable of such a lofty reality. In fact, the Bible is teaching us this, precisely this way, to show us that we're not capable of it, because that's what we don't believe. We see ourselves as able, strong, capable. And in the kingdom of the world, many of us are. But when we stand before Almighty God, we start talking about things like righteousness. We'll better check that pride at the door. We end up like Job in his book, questioning God, and God saying what to him, right? Where were you, buddy, when I formed all of this? He wants to present it to us this way. He does present it to us this way, and he's teaching us it this way to precisely show us the truth. That's who we are. And that's the number one thing we struggle with. A right reading of the Ten Commandments will show us this too. Take a look at the first one. It says, I'm sure you know it, should have no other gods except for God before me, he says. And we say, no, we're quick to say, I don't have any other gods. I only have one God. But then if we look at it a little bit, and we kind of realize what Luther teaches us about this commandment, that anything that we look for our comfort or peace or security or joy or contentment in, the things that we go to for those things, our contentment and our security and our joy and our peace and our hope, the things that we go to for those, that's actually our God. And we're showing it by going to it for those things. And for many, there's lots of stuff that they go to for security and contentment that has nothing to do with God Almighty. It has to do with their checkbooks or their bank accounts. It has to do with being successful or getting the promotion. It has to do with anything and everything but God sometimes. We have hundreds of things in our lives actually that we go to for those things. Or think of some of the other commandments. Who could say that they've never borne false witness? Lied. Or who could say that they've never coveted what somebody else has? The fact is, God's asking us to be something that we cannot be on our own. Exactly. Exactly. Why would he do that? So we can finally see how his salvation actually works. So once for once in our proud, self-justifying lives, we can see clearly, and Jesus can open our eyes like he did for all those blind people when he was on earth. I love the way John the Baptist puts this. When he's talking about Jesus, he says, so he must increase and I must decrease. That's what the word of God's doing to us. Jeremiah said it too, not you, not me, the Lord is our righteousness. God's trying to show us all this. This is this beautiful thing. I need, and you need, and we all need Jesus. We need a righteousness that's not our own. We need somebody else's righteousness because the law continues to show us over and over that we won't add up, we won't measure up, we'll never make it. We need something that isn't ours, the perfect sinless reality of another. That's what we really need. And what we need is something we can't earn. We don't need to try harder for this, or try to be better for this, or earn more for this, or prove what good people we are to God. We need to give up on that, on those attempts, and simply, get this, if you don't hear anything else this morning, simply and only and wholly need Jesus. From that, a good tree can grow and good fruit can be produced. Good works can be done with a proper motivation of thanksgiving. From our try, we're only going to get bad fruit, self-righteousness, or despair. There's only one who is ever righteous. We know this. Only one. He was perfect. He was holy. He was sinless. And listen to what the scriptures say about him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For our sake, the apostle writes, he made Jesus to be sin, though Jesus knew no sin, so that in Jesus we might become the righteousness of God. That's the same thing that Jeremiah 33:16 is saying to us. The Lord is our righteousness. We are not our own righteousness. Could we depend on him that much? We can. That much. The Bible's simply telling us that we in and of ourselves, left to ourselves, we're not what we need to be. Jesus is that for us. Jesus is that for you. For me. The Lord is our righteousness. He himself and no other. Not even ourselves. Where we place most of our confidence all day long. For some, maybe none of their confidence. But still. And this leads us to see what righteousness actually is. And how righteousness is defined for us. How sinless perfection works in our sinful world. What does it look like? How can we be righteous? Dependence on Christ. That's the way the Bible defines righteousness. To see our need for a Savior and become fully dependent on what he's accomplished and quit squirming and trying to earn something before God. Jesus said it too. They asked him, what are the works of God? And he answered, John 6, verse 29, this is the work of God, singular. Believe in the one he sent. Full and complete righteousness is dependence on Christ. God is precisely demanding us to be something that we cannot be on our own. Exactly why? So we'll see how this actually works. It's incredible. It's about Jesus. It's all about him. And it's what sets the Christian faith apart from every other religious system in the world. Every other system, pick one, is about a person doing the right things to do something for God, to show that they're okay, that they're safe, that they're going to go to wherever. Not our faith. Our faith literally speaks the truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He himself said it. The truth is what? We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's what it says. There's none righteous, no, not one. That's Romans 3. Nobody's doing this on their own. Our faith says the truth. Christ did it for us. That's what it looked like for him. He went to the cross and he died to become your righteousness and mine and ours together. This is what he's given us. His very own sinless perfection. His very own righteousness. That's what Jeremiah is crying out. He's been crying out all Advent. The Lord is our righteousness. And I've been slamming on this thing, right? And we've been talking about it over and over and over and over and over and over. Because we want to remember it. We want it to shape the way we think about righteousness. About being good enough for God. How can we be good enough for God when we keep failing at the law? We keep sinning before him. Be dependent on Christ. Be dependent on Christ. And real quick, what that looks like. What does it look like to need Jesus? The Bible tells us. Jesus said that repentance and the forgiveness of sins should be preached to the whole world, beginning at Jerusalem. Dependence on Jesus and his righteousness, that's what it looks like. It looks like confession. It looks like repentance. It looks like laying ourselves out full and saying, I messed it up. That's what it is. Dependence on Jesus is saying, I sinned. I'm a sinner. Like our confession said at the beginning of a church, even sometimes it says, I'm a poor, miserable sinner. If you can't lay it all out there and say it, that's dependence on Jesus. If that's who we really are, if that's who God says we are and who we confess to be, then the Lord is our righteousness. And we take it not for ourselves. That He forgives us. And we exist in that forgiveness. We live in that forgiveness. And that is His righteousness. The Lord is our righteousness, yes, through the forgiveness of sins, yes. I mean, take a look around, right? The only reason any entity, a business, a church, a family, an office, anything stays together, functions, it's because there's got to be forgiveness or it'll fall apart. The Lord becomes our righteousness through the forgiveness of sins. This is the blessed thing. This is why we come to church. This is why we receive the sacrament, for the forgiveness of sins. It's not about our try. It's about admitting who we are and saying back to God what He said to us and confessing the truth and living every single moment of our lives doing what Jesus said in John 6, believing in the one that was sent, that He is our righteousness and that He's become it for us and given it to us in baptism. The Lord. Try to hear it, right? Try to hold on to it. The Lord is our righteousness. That's a freeing reality. We're free. He's done it. Crucified, resurrected, ascended into heaven, sends His Holy Spirit, gives us His own righteousness. And we're free to live and serve in thanksgiving instead of in bondage to try to earn. Advent went quick. But throughout the whole thing, we heard the words of the prophet, and I pray that as you think about your own life before God, how He feels about you, where you're at with Him, that you remember these words of the prophet. The Lord is our righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time, we invite the congregation just to stand. And we confess our faith to the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church,
we now come to our time for our prayer of the church. Our response for our prayers this morning is, hear our prayer. Let us pray. O Lord, there is none like You in holiness, righteousness, and might. Yet You exercise Your power for our salvation, for the salvation of sinners. As we draw near to the celebration of Jesus' birth, fill our hearts, Lord, with gratitude that Your Son humbled Himself and became flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. Lord, in Your mercy, mighty God, You have done great things for us. looking upon our humble estate and exalting us to be assured that by faith we are your children for Jesus' sake. Preserve us by your holy word. Keep us in the one true faith. Dependence on you, trust in you, belief that your cross and resurrection was for us. Lord, help us to rejoice in it all our days. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, your Son from of old was born of Mary to be our peace in a world filled with troubles. Grant us repentant hearts, that for his sake we would be at peace with you. Grant also that forgiveness of our sins, that we may forgive and be at peace with all those around us, Lord. Lord, help us to see that, yes, we're forgiven. And in Christ, we stand righteous before you. But Lord, help us to share that forgiveness. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, our God, Bethlehem was too small to be among the clans of Judah, yet from it came forth the King of Kings. Lord, remember the congregations of your people where numbers are small and resources are scarce. Provide for their needs and remind them that the Lord of Lords dwells among them in his means of grace. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you are the creator of all life. Have mercy on those, Lord, who struggle with various and complicated issues. Lord, help us each as we go through troubles in life to know that you're with us, that you're there with your strength. Lord, we pray that you would bless all women who've been unable to conceive or that suffered the heartbreak of a miscarriage. Lord, that you'd be their rock against that despair and provide them consolation and purpose in your Son and restore them to exalt in your salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Holy God, you sent your Son to shepherd his flock in strength and to be great to the ends of the earth. Grant wisdom to our leaders, those in office above us, Lord, and grant peace among all the nations, that we all may dwell secure, we pray. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, our God, uphold those that we have in our prayers of the church this week. We name before you from the altar John Johnson, Katie and Eric Philly, Connie Poole, Rob Miller, Joyce Austin, Anna, Rupert Gallegos, Ella Gonzalez, Richard Lynch, Janice Ross, Lori Hauser, Jim and Linda Holman, Debbie Ford, Carolyn Jerry, Betty Gray, Sandy Santa Stephen, Betty Patton, Sunny Rumler, Don Hermanson, Lord, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Gracious Lord, uphold all who suffer in mind or body. Give them the knowledge of Christ, their Emmanuel, who's with them in their trials. Grant them health and healing according to your perfect will. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Almighty God, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ on the cross. Prepare the hearts of all who commune this day with penitence and trust in your promise. Dependence on your righteousness, and so make us holy with your Son in his body and blood. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ, who is truly King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In his name, amen. Please be seated. We now come to the time in our service where our offerings are collected and presented to the Lord. We encourage you this morning to know that the scriptures teach that the Lord loves a cheerful giver. and that we shouldn't give reluctantly or out of necessity, that God loves it when we give out of a cheerful heart. This morning, as the offerings are collected and presented, we invite you to turn to page 7 in your bulletin, and there printed for you is the hymn, My Soul Rejoices, and we'll sing that together. Joining us on the radio this morning, we thank you for tuning into our service. We ask that the Lord would continue to bless you as in your preparations for the Christmas celebration. If you're gathered in the sanctuary, we invite you to turn over to page 8 in your bulletin, and please stand if you're able for our service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way John the Baptist prepared, proclaiming him the promised Messiah, the very Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and calling sinners to repentance, that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit, Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you for joining our service today at Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa, Colorado. We hope this worship service has been a blessing to you. If you would like to support our ministry, please visit our website by searching Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. On our website, click the link for Apple or Android devices to upload our app to your phone or tablet. Our app has many resources to help you. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you this week.
All the best to you and yours this holiday season from your friends here at KSPK-FM, Walsenburg, Trinidad, Pueblo, and Colorado Springs, and KSBK-FM, Blanca, Alamosa, Monte Vista, Del Norte, and South Fork. Merry Christmas.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer.